Rebuilding Ruins is a podcast aimed at tackling heart issues. Let's jump straight to the deep end, because who has time to be sitting in the shallow? We will delve into scripture and use that as our foundational truth, in which we talk all things that have affected women, past, present, and future. So get your tools, ladies. We ride at dawn. Hey guys, thank you for joining me on another episode of Rebuilding Ruins. I'm your host, Amina. So we just got to give our own selves a round of applause. Today has kind of been a little bit of a day, but we're not going to stay stuck and shoulda, woulda, couldas. We are moving forward, right? That's what this is about. I don't know if any of you guys have seen the movie What's Love Got to Do with It? It's like the life story of Tina Turner. It's an incredible underdog story. I love those stories because doesn't it resonate with all of us? We're like, yes, that could be me one day. Not that I would be wearing an amazing looking wig and jumping around on stage in a sequined dress, but it's just the, I'm not going to stay stuck in this forever. Like, there is a way out. There is, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. And I think that's what resonates about the whole underdog story. My husband and I went to go see the movie Gladiator for our date night. Oh my gosh, it was so good. It was, I mean, it was the underdog story, you know? You know what? I don't want to give anything away. So I'm just going to stop right there. But I will say it was a very powerful movie that just puts on display, you know, the reward that comes with perseverance, and holding and clinging to our Christian faith, holding and clinging to God, clinging to the commands, clinging to our faith, and the reward that comes from that, even in the midst of, you know, confusion and doubt and all that stuff. There's something about just clinging to the truth. And then once we get to the other side, we're like, oh my gosh, it was worth it. You know, all that, you know, when the Bible talks about don't grow weary from doing what is good, because in due season, you will reap a reward. And that is so true. And it's not easy clinging to what we know to be true and the right things to cling to. But, you know, in the right time, we will see the fruition of what our determination and, you know, integrity and clinging to the Lord and clinging to truth, where it gets us. And the reason why I brought up the whole movie with Tina Turner is because I was thinking of that, of her song, What's Love Got to Do with It? What's love got to do? I'm sorry. I am that lady that has a horrible propensity of just breaking out in random song. It's like a song pops in my head and I just gotta let it out. Otherwise it eats away at me. I don't know if it's because I am a huge fan of musicals, and I, you know, sometimes music just is what really encapsulates your feeling. But yeah. So if I break out in a random song or a little ditty, join me. Let's sing together. You know, you just gotta let it out. That's how I feel about singing and sneezes. When you gotta sneeze, don't, you know, do that, you know, that the holding back, you gotta let it out. A sneeze deserves it's standing in the world. And there's nothing like releasing a good sneeze. My aunt taught me that. And because I used to do the, you know, the, holding it back. And she's like, girl, let it out when you sneeze. Now, you know, it frees the soul. It's good for the soul. But anyways, all these rabbit trails, I'm hopping and bopping all over the place. My God. Sound like I'm talking. This is the conversations me and my five-year-old have. We're just all over the place. This is what happens when you're raising children. You talk about whatever pops in your little mind. But, you know, so I was thinking of that song, What's Love Got to Do with It? And it's like a lot, actually. Love has everything to do with it. And I know, you know, us women have gone through a time. I mean, when that movie came out, my mom was, you know, she was going through a divorce. And so my brother and I, we listened to all the women empowerment songs. And, you know, we were singing along with her in the car, blasted, windows down, and fists balled and eyes, you know, clenched tight and just singing. We didn't know what we were singing about. My mom did, but, you know, we had never been in a relationship that, you know, a romantic relationship, I should say, that broke us. We were just kind of feeding off, but, you know, she was feeling it. The song was making me feel it. So that's what we rolled with, you know? So, you know, I began to think a lot about love. And I'll be honest with you guys, that has always been a major struggle with me. Like, what is love? What is the love that God talks about? When he says he is love, what does that mean? Because we have grown up in such a broken world that our ideals of love are so, like, tainted. You know, like, and we use the word love for everything, you know, so it kind of gets thrown around and it's like, what is the meaning of that? You know, a lot of us have had parents that say that they love us. And you know what? I do believe that they love us. It's just, especially if you've broken up or grown up with parents that have, you know, a broken past or what have you. But, you know, in that, their love is authentic. It's just what they can give, you know? So that's why we have to extend so much grace and mercy and just forgive them and pray for them, because, in their brokenness, they, for whatever reason, they chose not to fully heal and go through the process, which, you know, we inherited. And so a lot of us have a broken, busted down view of what love is. Real quick, I want to share this dream that I had. I had this dream, oh gosh, like 10 years ago. And I get these like little, like, really meaningful dreams from time to time, and I just hold on to them forever. They're so vivid, and I just replay them in my mind. But I had this dream, and I'm going to cut out like the whole first portion of it and just kind of skip to the meat of it. I had this dream that I was 16 again, and I had met this boy, and there was this huge celebration happening in the streets. Like, it was like a pep rally. Everybody was in their high school colors and everybody was so excited. And it was like, and I was, you know, driving in my parents' car in the road, trying to just, you know, be alert, because there was just people everywhere just celebrating in the streets of this, you know, huge football game that was going to take place, that was taking place later that day. And this, you know, this guy comes to my window and he's like, hey, why don't you get out and celebrate with us? And I'm like, no, I can't. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to get out of here. And he's like, no, get out, celebrate with us. Come on. I'm like, I don't have any of the school colors, you know, like, I'm not dressed for this. And so he's like, who cares? Just come on out. And I got out of the car and I started, you know, just celebrating. And I didn't really know, you know, in my dream, I wasn't a part of this school, but it was just fun to celebrate. So that's what I did. And I was, you know, into this guy that had drawn me out of my car to come, you know, celebrate with him. And so he offers to walk me home in my dream. And so as he's walking me home, I'm just thinking, I cannot wait to tell my dad about this guy. Oh my gosh. Like, I cannot wait to talk to my dad and let him know. And I'm having all the butterflies. And, you know, you girls out there, ladies, know what I'm talking about when you first meet a really cute guy and it's just like, oh my gosh, he's so cute. And, you know, you got all the feels. And I get to my house, I run in and I'm like, where's dad? Where's dad? You know, I just could not wait to talk to him and tell him every single detail. And they're like, oh, he's not home yet. So in my dream, I'm waiting in this room with my other sisters. And we hear my dad's voice in the house, and we're all of a sudden, I'm just filled with so much excitement. And I get up and I'm like, Dad. And then, you know, I see all my sisters running up and they're all wanting to tell him about their day. And I just kind of sit there just, you know, antsy, like, okay, hurry up. Cause you know, I gotta talk to Dad. I gotta let him know about all this. And he kind of shoots me a look like, you know, I know you got something you want to tell me. I can tell you've got a look. You got the look. And so I'm doing my best to be patient and waiting for this opportune moment to talk to my dad. And after everybody's filtered through, he, you know, comes right up to my face, like so close. And he's like, you got the look of love. Come on, let's go talk. He takes me in his office. I'm going to try not to break down sharing this. He takes me in his office, and it was this beautiful Victorian house in my dream, which I did not grow up in. I grew up, if you guys have ever seen the syrup bottle, the little log cabin, that's what my house looked like. It was a very small house, but in my dream, I grew up in this gorgeous old Victorian home that was restored. And he takes me into his office and closes these French doors. And I just start dancing in the windows, in front of the windows. And I'm like, Dad, oh my gosh, I got to tell you everything that happened. I met this boy. He's so cute. And he made me get out of the car and celebrate with him in the streets. And he's so funny. And I'm just telling, and I just see my dad's look. And it was so full of like pride. Like he was celebrating. And I just, you know, I could feel his love for me. It was so pure. And I was like, I felt like I could do no wrong in his eyes. Like he was so proud that I was his daughter. And after, you know, I got done sharing everything, he just gives me this, you know, as he was just looking at me, twirling around, telling him everything, he just tells me, celebrate love, celebrate love, celebrate love, over and over. And I woke up and I began weeping. Because I never experienced that kind of love and that intensity. And especially from a father, from my father. And I never had the desire to tell my dad everything that happened, you know, with my day. I never really had that, you know, where I felt like I could just say all of that. In my home, we didn't celebrate love. You know, there was so much animosity and anger and fear. And, you know, in this dream, I got a taste of the Father's love, of his heart He was really showing me that. And it was so special to me because it was right around Valentine's Day. And that's why love has everything to do with it. Because my God, if us women could get a revelation of the love of God, of how he feels for us, how he longs for us. And I mean, we would want to come to him all the time, like, oh my gosh, God, I got to tell you about this. Father, I got to tell you about this. Guess what? You know, it's that kind of relationship he longs to have with us, where we are excited to tell him about our day, where we are falling on his lap to cry and tell him all the things that have, you know, brought fear to us or make us feel angry, and all those, you know, all the things, all the feelings that we deal with. It's like he wants all of us. He doesn't want the, you know, the face we put on in front of people that, you know, yeah, we're okay, we're good. And then, you know, we are trying not to have a breakdown in the produce aisle. And oh my God, I've been there so many times. Or, you know, he wants every part of us. And that's so beautiful. And I always refer back to that dream. I want it to be my reality. And sometimes it's so hard for me to fully grasp, like, are you sure you want this part of me? You know, on my last video, I talked about Peter. And I talked about how he, you know, and I'm just going to jump right to, you know, when Jesus asked him, do you love me, Peter? You know, there are different kinds of love. You know, there's the love that, you know, a spouse that you have for your spouse, a love you have for your children, a love you have for chocolates. You know, there's love on different levels, and all those loves have different commitment levels and different meanings. And when Jesus was asking Peter, Peter, do you love me? He was asking Peter, Peter, do you agape love me? And as I was like researching the meaning of agape, I realized that that is like the highest form of love. It's the most purest form of love. It's the love that, it's an act of will. Agape love is that sacrificial love that it doesn't always necessarily come with feelings, but it comes with an act of will, like you are committed wholeheartedly. And that is what the type of love that Jesus demonstrated, you know, when he went to the cross for us. That is agape love. It's the love that 1 Corinthians, you know, chapter 13 talks about. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't boast. You know, all, you know, it goes down line by line to break down. What does love look like? And it doesn't rejoice in wrong. And, you know, it endures all things, hopes all things, believes all things. And so, you know, this is the love that Jesus was asking Peter, do you agape love me? And I don't think he was asking him because he needed to know, you know, when my husband and I got married. I had to add that in there. All's fair in love and war, right? When we got married, I would always ask him, do you love me? Like, you know, you guys ever play that would you rather, like, or what is it? It's not would you rather, but it's kind of like that, you know, like, you know, you kind of play those like games, like if I was, you know, like those comparison love games to try to gauge, like, how much do you love me? How far are you willing to go for your love for me? And it's funny because the verse that talks about, you know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's exactly the love that is being referred to in those verses. It's agape love. You know, it's God expects our husbands to love us with that pure act of will, sacrificial, fully committed love. So remember that. And it was interesting because when Jesus asked Peter, like, do you love me? Peter's response is, yeah, Lord, I love you. And in Peter's response, it was phileo love. You know, and phileo love, if you're thinking like Philadelphia, yeah, that's where, that's the root of the word, because it comes, you know, it means the city of brotherly love. And so he responds with, you know, I love you like a brother. I love you like a friend. You know, that was the type of love that he had come to reason. Like, that's really that's my honest answer for you. Like, that's my level of love for you. Like, I have affection and admiration for you, but am I willing to give up everything? Am I willing to go and die and go to prison for you like I initially thought I would? No. And I'm pretty sure that I proved that. You know, so I think Jesus asking him, you know, three times, the second time, again, he asked him, do you agape love me? And again, Peter responds with phileo love. And then the third time Jesus asks him, Peter, do you love me? Again, but this time, actually, Jesus asked him, do you phileo love? And, you know, Peter's heartbroken at this point. He's like, dang it. I wish my love was more. I wish it was better. I wish. Like, he's like, you know, Lord, you know all things. Like, why are we having this conversation? Like, yeah, I phileo love you. But it's so important that we allow the Lord to reveal what's really in our hearts so that we can grow from there. Because after, you know, Peter comes to this realization, and Jesus is like, you know, Peter, you are going to die for me and you are going, you know, to follow me, you know? So it's like he reminds Peter that his love will take him to that place as his love grows and matures. And, you know, when we were first married, I'll admit our love was really immature, and there was a lot of vows and commitment we had made to each other on our wedding day in front of God, in front of people. But when it comes down to, you know, your husband's starting to piss you off because his clothes are right next to the laundry basket and not in the basket, you're like, you're starting to sharpen some knives. You know, it's like, what the heck? You know, you start, there are things like that. And, or, you know, my feet are freezing cold and he's always hot. So I have to, my feet just kind of naturally, you know, gravitate to his warmth. And I like to put my feet in his shirt because it's nice and toasty. And he's like, what? Your feet are freezing. And he's like in shock. I'm like, excuse me. I do your laundry, you warm my feet. I think that's fair, you know? But, you know, there are things that you think love looks like, and we stepped into marriage having this Disney ideal of love, and then you're like, whatever happened to Cinderella once she got in the castle? Like, what did that life look like? You know, we never saw behind the scenes. We saw all the singing in the freaking forest and the animals like dancing around them. And it's like, you know, Disney just sets you up sometimes. And you're like, wait a minute. I haven't experienced that part of it yet. But, you know, when we're broken, we break people, or we have this different idea of love, you know, And that's why God lays out the definition of what love looks like, you know? And so we have a foundation, a boundary in place to know, okay, this is what love looks like. If you've grown up in a broken situation, in a broken home, and love looked like abuse or control or anger, you know, or, revenge, you're like, wait a minute. But the Bible says love is patient, love is kind, love does not, you know, rejoice in wrong. And so then everything that I was experiencing was not love, the love that God longs for us to experience and wants for us to love people in that way. Which, you know, when the Bible talks about love your neighbor, he's talking about agape love. So this is the beauty of, you know, defining our terms when it comes to love, you know, because it's not like we are going to accept when our husband, you know, is like, oh, you know, I love you like I love fishing, or I love you like I love watching football. No, you wouldn't die for football. But then again, I don't know. I have my questions about that. Honestly, I think he might. You know, when there's this whole exchange between Jesus and Peter and the whole love conversation, it reminded me a lot of the verse in Joel 2 that says to rend your hearts and not your garments and return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving devotion, and he relents from sending disaster. But he's after our hearts. He doesn't want the display of love. You know, how many of us have been in relationships and the love starts to grow cold, you know, and you guys are now finding yourselves with your husband to be more like roommates. You guys are just going through the routines of life, but you're not connecting. There's no intimacy. The communication is, you know, the affection is, I don't even know where it is. It flew away with my brain somewhere. And now you guys are just in like full on survival mode. And yeah, you guys are doing stuff for each other. You're still cooking the meals and cleaning the house and taking care of the kids. And he's still providing and bringing the money into the house and, you know, helping with, you know, outdoor chores or whatever. Yeah, you guys are still doing something for each other. But it's not sustainable. The whole point of a marriage is that the love that you have for each other differs than the love you have for your girlfriend or the love you have for your children. You know, that love is sacred and it's set apart. And now you see it kind of starting to, you know, dissipate. You're like, wait a minute. You know, Jesus tells us, you know, return to your first love. Come back to me. You know, I don't want the act of love. It's nice. It's nice that he's providing. It's nice that I'm cooking him meals or making lunch, but it's not enough. That's not enough to sustain and for us to go deeper with each other. And, you know, we were created for something more. We're created for intimacy, to really engage each other's hearts, be able to pick up on each other's cues. Like, yeah, I want you to be able to tell when I'm frustrated and I'm at my wit's end and I don't even have to say it. It's like my dream, or my father in my dream, just he could see by the look on my eyes, like something's different. And that's the kind of intimacy God longs to have with us as his daughters, not as slaves, not as servants, but as daughters. He wants to be able to look at us in the eyes and say, there's something. What do you need to tell me? Why do you seem upset? Talk to me. Don't shut me out. I don't care. Like, I can handle your emotions. Are you upset at me? Tell me. Let's talk about it. And I think so much we think that we need to close off and just try to figure out the solution to the problem and, you know, and not always engage with God. Like, I need your help. I need to depend on you. How nice is it for us to be able to tell our husbands, I need you. I need to know that I can fall back on you, that you're going to catch me. I need to know that I have your support if I start this certain endeavor, that you are. And when I'm feeling like I can't do this and I'm starting to have doubts and fears of my own, that you're going to not be like, see, I told you you shouldn't have done it. See, did it, you know, we don't want to be cut down, but I want to know that you're going to support me and say, babe, you can do this. You got this. Like, don't worry. What do you need me to take off your plate so that you can focus or you can, you know, concentrate? That's what us women desire. We want to be seen and validated. And so this is such a mirrored relationship with the Lord. The desires we have in our own hearts is the same desire he has for us. He's not wanting separation. He's not wanting us to figure it out on our own. He's not wanting for us to kind of navigate our own feelings. He wants us to process it with him. He wants us to see his true nature. He's a loving father. He is a father first. You know, like, I always hear my husband, you know, like, oh, what do? You know, and we always define, oh, I'm a contractor, I'm this, I'm that. You know, we go off of our labels and titles. But to God, there's so many references in scripture that point back to him being a father. He is a father first, more than he's anything else. He is a father. That's how he identifies. I mean, it's the parable Jesus told about the prodigal son. It's so that we see the heart of the father. He doesn't reference him as a hard worker or as a judge or anything else. It's as a father that lovingly receives his son who wanted to come return back as a servant, as a hired servant in his father's house. But the father's like, no, I'm restoring you back to a son and your position. And we are going to celebrate love. We're going to celebrate your return because you were, he tells the older brother who was a little upset, very upset. It's like, your brother was dead, but now he's alive. And this is the heart of the father. He is a celebratory father. He is a father that longs to restore. And we see this with Peter, where he's like, I'm restoring you. I don't want you going back to what I called you out of. Yeah, you made a mistake. I knew you were going to make a mistake. I told you what exactly you were going to do. I also told you I'm praying that your faith will not fail. And I also told you that when you return back to me, for you to go back and strengthen your brothers. And each time Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? He gives him a command. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. He's restoring him back to his calling. And that's what God does for us as his daughters. We are not that powerful. Our sin is not stronger than his love. Our shame is not stronger than his love. Our fears are not stronger than his love. Even if we carry offense towards God, it's not stronger than his love. Because he longs to restore us to our design. He does not want us wallowing in a pit of lies. When we've grown up with brokenness, whether we have a current broken relationship, we've gone through brokenness with our own families, friends, you name it, He wants to lavish his love on us so that we can experience wholeness and confidence in who he is, who he's called us to be. He wants our hearts. He doesn't want us doing things for him from a place of fear. Like, I better do this for God because I don't want to be, you know, sentenced to hell or, you know, whatever it is. It starts with love. Everything starts with love. And from a place of love, then we want to do stuff for him because it's our love is what compels us to want to obey him, to want to protect our relationship with the Lord. It compels us to want to stay away from sin because we know that sin separates. It's because, you know, of love, we desire a life of holiness and righteousness. Because of love, we long to raise up other disciples so that they can experience the same Father's heart that we experience. So it comes from love. Everything starts from love. Oh my gosh. I don't know how many of you guys have teenagers out there, but this is what I imagine. Like, do the dishes and they're like, oh my God, I'm going to jump off a cliff. You know, it's like, I don't know if any of you guys have teenagers out there that threatens unaliving themselves because they have to mop a floor or something. It's like, really, if that's the worst thing in your life, then you got a pretty good life. Reality check. And I think this is, you know, it's different when we tell our kids, hey, I need you to do your chores. It's time. And they're like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. Because they're doing things from a place of love. They're like, I know my parents love me and I want to give that back to them. We haven't matured at that point. Sometimes some of my kids have. There are some of my kids that do respond that way. And then, you know, there's others we're still working on. And, you know, God doesn't want us doing things for him from that place of like, oh my God, to do this, I have to, like, this is, but, or a place of fear. He wants us to do things from the overflow of love because we love him, which is the number one commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. You know, and then all the commandments are listed, right? Love the Lord doesn't come last. It comes first because he wants us to experience his love. And then when we experience, if I can even say the word, once we experience his love, then we want to give that back to him. It's like, oh my God, you know, when God broke me out of a lot of sin in my life, and I see the holiness and righteousness of who he is, it breaks me and it humbles me because I'm like, God, can you even love me? How can you even want me? How can you even receive me? I'm this, I'm that. And it just makes you just love him more because you're like, oh my gosh, you are so good. You are so faithful. And so it's something that, you know, you can carry with you. My challenge to you this week is tap in to God right now. Let's do that right now. Like, Lord, we ask for your revelation to bombard all the lies that are trying to take up residence, have taken up residence, uproot those lies so we can have a full understanding and revelation of your heart for us. The thing that's keeping us from committing wholeheartedly to you, or the things that are causing us to live in fear, Father, we ask that you would show us your love for us. remind us over and over and over and over again till it's not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge. We're living it out. We're not just talking about it. Lord, we just ask that you would wash away all the lies, all the false standards of what love really is not, that we can experience the fullness of love, that it would break every curse, every generational curse, that we would come under the new covenant, the new bloodline that says your blood speaks a better word. Your blood speaks freedom and liberty. It speaks life abundantly, not striving and surviving, but thriving, thriving under the covering of your love. May we experience that, because we need to give that to our daughters and our sons and those around us. Father, whisper, pour out dreams and visions. May we not go another day without experiencing your love. In Jesus' name, I pray that this episode has blessed you. Share this with any of your homegirls that you feel need to get some encouragement, challenge, all the things. And I just pray that this truth is something we can continually build on, the love of God. So until next time, my ladies, be awake, be aware, and be vigilant in your mind. Don't let the lies come in. Counteract, counteract, counteract with the truth. Write some verses about love on your mirror. Put it on your screensaver, like put it before you. All right, you get my point. I don't got to keep driving this home. You guys take care, and we'll see you on next week's episode of Rebuilding Ruins. Thanks for joining me on Rebuilding Ruins. Catch me every Tuesday. If this has blessed you, make sure to share. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment on how this episode impacted you or topics you would like to hear in future episodes. Don't forget to subscribe to keep up on all the latest content. Until next time, my fellow builders.